Our scripture today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and you can follow along in your pew Bible on page 958. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Two thousand years ago, the church was born in a house in Jerusalem. 70 years ago, this church was born in a house in Newport Beach. We celebrate the birth of the church, big church, on Pentecost. But as you know, we've already said this, we're celebrating the birth of our church next Saturday at a big old birthday party we're calling our Platinum Jubilee. So like I said, Jubilee is a churchy word. It comes from the traditions in our Hebrew scriptures. In the year of Jubilee, all debt, all sin is forgiven, and there's sort of a reset on life. Everybody gets a do-over. And Jubilees come about every 25 years or so, so it's a big deal when one comes around. The Roman Catholic Church really embraced this idea of Jubilee. I actually got a chance to visit the Vatican the year of the Jubilee back in 2000, and I must say it was quite a celebration. So if you look up Platinum Jubilee, or 70 years, that's what you're going to get. It's a Platinum Jubilee, 70 years. It's a really big deal, because if you think about platinum, that's like the best, right? Platinum records, platinum rings, big deal. So this is our Platinum Jubilee. It is a celebration unlike any other, and there's a lot worth celebrating. I'm going to take my little thing here. Forgot my water. So, 70 years ago, a group of American Baptists began gathering in the home of B. Chapin, and the First Baptist Church of Newport Beach was born. Thank you for reading that. Before long, the church, the little group, outgrew the house church and decided to rent space to see if it could grow to be a viable mass, to see if this fledgling congregation might actually have it in them to make it. So the gathering of the faithful moved to the American Legion Hall on the Balboa Peninsula. Saturday night, the hall was filled with smoke as veterans gathered to drink the night away. But come Sunday, the doors and windows were opened as the ocean wind aired out the stench of the night before, and beer crates were stacked into an altar and a pulpit, and the church made its home in a rather unlikely place. As Marge tells the story, just like it is now, Newport Beach was more expensive than Costa Mesa, so the newly founded church began to look for property beyond the city line. It just so happens that one of the developers of College Park, this neighborhood, Ray Dykes, belonged to that little church. And he secured the prime location of what would soon become their new home. So it was that the devout Newport Baptist Christians began a capital campaign. And folks like good old Mac McElosh, the young chaplain at the Fairview Hospital down the street, picked up hammer and nails and began to build this very building that we're sitting and standing in today. Right? Those that have been around a while will remember Mac. He died in 2012 as our oldest and longest member, often stepping in to preach and always writing a newsletter article. Of course, I knew him during his last years, but he was definitely a bright light. Talk about a beacon. He was always game for a good theological discussion. If Mac were any indicator as to the free-thinking and theologically-minded folks of that first an early church, then this was always a church with a brain and a heart. I remember Mac telling me about getting up on our roof and nailing in boards. It's hard to believe. I mean, it's really hard to believe. I'm not sure if it's true, but he told me so, so I'm going to believe it. Mac, up on this building, nailing boards, built by the sweat of the brow and the love of a heart of its very own members. So it was that the good people of the First Baptist Church of Newport Beach became the good people of Fairview Baptist Church in Costa Mesa. We finally had a home, and it's been a good one. The neighborhood developed around us, and we proudly took our place at the corner. Sometime in the early 70s, before this man's arrival, we began to think that having Baptist in our name sounded a little too limiting. Now, we weren't going to stop being Baptists, but it became more and more clear that we were a sanctuary for people who didn't exactly fit anywhere else. Some of our long-timers have said that we were the church of misfit toys. And I think in so many ways that was and is a very fitting way to describe us, because here, the misfits fit. With the Southern Baptist Church becoming more and more conservative, having Baptists in our name just felt limiting. And after all, we were all about community. So we changed our name, and for over 40 years, we have been Fairview Community Church. It didn't matter if people were Baptist. What mattered was that they were looking for community. And after all, I think that's why most of us found a home here too. We're looking for community. One of our favorite phrases this last decade or so has been, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. And in reality, if you think back, that's been a Fairview maxim that really encompasses who we've always been. Now, unfortunately, it's not altogether clear to me who stood at the pulpit made of beer crates during the Legion years, but by the 1960s, it was the Reverend Mel Taylor. Pastor Taylor was here for a decade, known for leading us on the path towards becoming a progressive and inclusive Christian congregation. After his tenure, Dick Doss came for an interim that lasted a little while longer because he loved this church so much and they loved him. So what started off as a stopgap ended up lasting 3 years. He was a professor at ABSW, the American Baptist Seminary of the West, and he liked the thoughtfulness of this thinking church. We appreciated him for his wisdom and his education and the way he imparted it through sermons. Fairview was on the cutting edge. Worship was led in the round, very exciting. You could sit all around here and the pastor would stand at the level with the church. I really like the idea of standing at the level of the church. Unfortunately, I'm a little short, so I'm a little higher. But this idea that everyone was in the same space on the level with one another and preaching in the round sure sounded like an amazing, inviting atmosphere. Unfortunately, we changed our pews, so we weren't able to do it. We've tried it since. It doesn't quite work. But this was cutting-edge stuff. And you know what's even crazier was that we began using secular music in the church. Secular music, right? It was provocative in comparison to other Protestant churches, but what can we say? We've always been a bit ahead of the game, and I guess we've also been a bit provocative as well. Then, in 1975, they called a young pastor out of San Bernardino via San Jose, a Redlands graduate who got his MDiv at ABSW, the Reverend Gary Barmore. He'd heard about Fairview Community Church, and he thought, you know what? This just might be the perfect place for me and my family to call home. He liked the thoughtful congregation, and he liked that they enjoyed having fun. So much of Gary's ministry can be summed up in the idea of celebrating life. In so many other churches, it was about being stiff and proper. But here at Fairview, people like to laugh with one another. They even like to party. And they celebrated life together as so many people broke out of the molds that they thought they had to be in order to fit in order to be a Christian. Well, they hadn't taken any official steps like becoming an open, welcoming, affirming church at that point. There was an ordained minister in our congregation who was openly gay. He took to the pulpit often. And while we weren't exactly waving our rainbow flag yet, it was a bold move, one that would begin to infuriate the leadership in our region. The Southern California American Baptists started to get more and more conservative. And as Reverend Gary closed in on retirement, they began to single Fairview out as a progressive church. Once, Gary was speaking at a regional meeting where the issue of homosexuality came up. See, they wanted a ban on clergy who were gay, and they also wanted to ensure that no one dare preside over a same-gender marriage or commitment ceremonies at that time. Gary simply spoke about love, the importance of love and our call to be lovers of all God's children. But what happened was Gary was booed. He was booed by many of his own colleagues and lifetime friends, and several of our members were there. They couldn't believe it. They might not have been those rainbow flag-flying Christians, but they knew the importance of love. And when they saw their pastor booed, they thought twice about being involved in an organization that would do such a thing. Well, Gary retired in 2000 after a 25-year stint as pastor, and the Reverend John Townsend came to cover the pulpit during the pastoral search. Unfortunately, it seems that they made a rather hasty decision, some of you will remember this, having the pressure to call a settled pastor. But when the church did call a pastor, the Reverend Bill Godwin, it was obvious that after a very short amount of time that he didn't quite fit with this congregation. It was an incredibly painful process for everyone, but the church eventually decided to let him go after 13 months. So it was a sense of a firing, and he was disgruntled. He didn't have the nicest of things to say about Fairview. Our reputation in the region as a gay church began to grow. Now, mind you, at the time, we only had two out lesbians, but we were all drinking the same water, I guess. I don't know. A gay church that doth make. So soon it became clear that it was time for us to part ways with the Pacific Southwest region of the American Baptist churches. But we didn't want to stop being American Baptists, except it was clear this relationship wasn't going anywhere. So in a meeting with longtime members in the region, they asked us, "Why are you still here?" And as legend had it, Marty Barmar said, "Because you have our deed." And they said, "Well, if we give you the deed, then will you leave?" And without missing a beat, everyone there replied, "Yes!" So we got our deed, and we severed our relationship with the region, which, by the way, fell apart entirely not long after when they all decided to secede from the denomination. So we felt a little bit self-righteous about that. So we needed a new region to affiliate with. That's when we found the newly formed Evergreen region in the Pacific Northwest. And about that same time, the United Church of Christ was airing their radical commercials, which featured inclusion of LGBT people. It seemed like a nice denomination. And it turns out it was a pretty good fit. We began the process of dual affiliation with both the American Baptist churches and the United Church of Christ. We had a little bit more pulpit supply for a couple of years, but during those years, everyone was wondering if we could finally get a settled pastor which would actually work, because it had been several years since Gary had retired, and we were looking for some consistency and stability. Well, finally, after what seemed like forever, the search committee got a lead on a young UCC pastor. It would be the first time Fairview would pursue a female as the solo pastor, although we did have two associates in the past. But this would be the first time they would consider a woman as the senior pastor. Were they ready? Well, I don't know. It was 2006. If not then when? So we called the Reverend Sarah Halverson, a UCC ordained pastor who had been serving in Murrieta but who grew up right in Costa Mesa. It was definitely a homecoming. 13 years later, and we've done a lot of ministry together. During these years, we took the plunge and became officially open, welcoming, and affirming to the LGBT community in 2008, immediately thrusting ourselves into the spotlight when in a few months later, we'd be free to legally marry same-gender couples, only to have, after a beautiful summer of weddings, we was ruined by the emergence of Prop 8. We had to fight hard, and fight we did. We continued that fight long after Prop 8 passed, always voicing a much-needed faith perspective to frame this fight in the context of God's love for all people and our belief that marriage between same-gender couples is a blessing from God. Incredibly, this small little church has made national news at least a half a dozen times, contributing to a larger conversation on faith, justice, inclusion. The nationally renowned LA Times columnist Steve Lopez even did an above-the-fold column in the Sunday morning paper on yours truly. Somehow, the good news actually manages to make real news. We're unafraid of proclaiming God's love and the heed to call, follow the call of Jesus, to be hearts and hands of Jesus in this world, following in his footsteps, seeking to stand in the margins and respond to the prophet's call to seek justice, love, kindness, and walk humbly in this world. It's always amazed me that by doing this, we make the news. Isn't this our call as Christians? But it also amazes me that so few people are actually willing and able to join a church like ours. I mean, we know Christianity is on the decline in America, and of course, we're not immune to this phenomenon. We feel it ourselves. And yet, even as we are surrounded by mega churches, even as America becomes less and less religion, even as Christianity declines, even as we ourselves witness this decline in church attendance, we always seem to see how the Spirit stirs among us. And that over and over again, this small church manages to make a difference. With creative services, we laugh, we think, we love. In fact, I think that maybe one of the most consistent things about Fairview, that we are a thinking church, that we love each other and we like to have fun, that we seek to follow Jesus' call to justice in our world. That's who we were back then, that's who we are today, and by God, that is who we will be in the future. This, yes, a three-pronged approach to be a justice-seeking people who think, who enjoy one another's company, and embrace the fun of life. This is what makes this church and this ministry so incredibly unique. We're always doing innovative things, whether it was playing that secular music in church, or even blessing parties where people were allowed to drink, pearl clutching. Or later, at our drink beer, at our Theology on Tap, our TOT gatherings, or marching in the Pride Parade. Now we proudly fly that rainbow flag. We proclaim that Black Lives Matter, and we stand up and join our voices when others need solidarity and an opportunity to find their voice. Heck, we even believe that drag queens are children of God, and God bless them. What an incredible journey it has been. 70 years. And yet the Spirit continues to stir among us, calling us together, sending us out into community to transform the world. Now, I really hope you can join us for our party on Saturday to celebrate our church, our history, our commitment to shining our light and carrying it out into the community. We always like to say our Beacon of Light celebration is our signature event. It's who we are. It's how we celebrate amongst ourselves, but it's also how we share our light to the community so that they can celebrate the fact that this church has existed for 70 years and continues to have an impact upon our community. That's the Spirit's call. That's the Spirit's call to us. to shine our light without fear, without restraint, but boldly, proudly, letting the love of God lead us, the peace of God sustain us, and the hope of God to fuel us. So may this little light shine. It started so small in that little home in Newport Beach. And it started small in each of us, too, that spark. But together, with our ancestors of the past, the people of the present, and the call and the hope of those who will join us, we become a beacon, a true beacon that shines our light so brightly for all the world to see. Friends, happy anniversary. Let us be that beacon together. Amen.